sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our tired hearts be always acceptable and restored in your sight, for you are our sure hope and our healing. Amen. I begin with one of my favorite quotes by the great Douglas John Hall, theologian and pastor. I've shared this before. How could we have been listening to the scriptures all these centuries, he writes, and still be surprised and chagrined by the humiliation of Christendom? How could we have honored texts like the Beatitudes and yet formed in our collective mind the assumption that Christian faith would be credible only if it were popular, numerically superior, and respected universally? Friends, did we think that following Jesus would be easy? Looking at our text today, the answer is, of course, no. It's not easy. It is going to be a tough journey. Plenty of people, ourselves perhaps included, have been merely spectators at the Jesus show. But to actually enter the Jesus ring, even more, to leave the Jesus ring and journey out into the Jesus world, following this one who carries a cross, a tool of the empire's torture for his own death, how could we have formed in our collective mind that assumption that Christian faith would be, well, glorious? Credible only if it were popular, numerically superior, and respected universally. I'm sometimes surprised that we have as many Christians as we still do when we think about these things. When we look at this text for today. Who do you say that Jesus is? That was his question to Peter. Who do you say that I am? Write that answer on your hearts. Pray about your answer this week. Who is Christ to you? And then what are you going to do about whatever your answer is? What are you going to do about that? If we say that Jesus is simply an entertainer, probably none of us would ever use that word, but maybe more like a motivational speaker or a magician, a miracle worker that dazzles us. If we say that Jesus is simply some guy that lived long ago and did amazing things, well then, you know, you can simply applaud from the bleachers of the church, tip your hat to that glorious history, and move on with your life. If we say that Jesus was only a political revolutionary, perhaps the most influential of them all, but then we can put him high up on the shelf and honor him as we pass by, face our own revolutions, but that still confines him in a category of humans, great humans, the shining revolutionaries through the ages. If we say that Jesus is someone who we go to only when we are in trouble, then he's really nothing more than a Roman god, a Greek god, a divine vending machine. Put in your prayers and your offerings, something good drops out, and we go on our way. Do you remember how our churches across the nation flooded to capacity in mid-September and through October of 2001? The culture was suddenly going to God. People were suddenly and understandably needing something from Jesus. And please don't misunderstand me. That was the right thing to do. That was good. And God indeed gives comfort and good news and the sacraments and the stories of the faithful. God gives the faithful themselves God's care for us in that terrible time. And still, was showing through us as we cried together and comforted one another. But then, as the culture started to heal, started to work on rebuilding, on retaliation, other interests started to emerge, and many church pews started to look more sparse again. It's an interesting translation. In verse 38, "Those who are ashamed of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation," Jesus says. Gene Peterson translates that in the Message as, "Those who are ashamed of my words in this fickle and unfocused generation." That's how he translates adulterous and sinful. Fickle and unfocused. I mean, we just start to drift off and get interested in other things and lose focus. It's human and it's true. We can all get fickle and unfocused when it comes to following the one who carries the cross and calls us to pick up ours too. Walking away amused, like he's just a curious street performer, a bygone political activist, or merely a transaction. "I'll give you this, Jesus, if you give me that." But friends, if you confess with Peter that Jesus is the one who saves, the Meshaddah, the Messiah, anointed to anoint and heal the whole cosmos across time and space, if you confess with Peter that Jesus is the crucified and risen one who was and who is to come, if you confess with Peter today that Jesus is God's own self, incarnated, fully human and fully divine, deeply present with and through and all around you and me and this whole creation, forgiving and loving and calling, gathering, enlightening, sanctifying, then walking away simply amused and applauding becomes impossible, for you have been changed. You ever notice how Jesus is telling the disciples all the time, "Don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone." He keeps saying, and they can't help themselves and they go and tell everyone and the word keeps spreading about Jesus and his mighty deeds. You have been forever changed just like them. Walking away and staying quiet is impossible. Jesus changes us for life. Life in this world. Life among the hardships of this world. This is not just about after we die. We are changed now. I've had some interesting things happen recently in my own spiritual journey. I've been changed recently from thinking that everything has changed. Stay with me here. Many of you know that I've been talking a lot, promoting, you could even say, a book called Post-Quarantine Church. It's been written after we've been in quarantine, in this pandemic. And it's saying that everything is different now. A lot of kind of gurus are saying that everything is different now when it comes to church. We can't go back to how we did things before when it comes to doing church. The pandemic has inflicted a seismic shift on what it means to be church, and it will never be the same again. Do you think that's true? I pretty much hate the idea. I've confessed before that there's nothing I want more than to go back to how it was. And I've been sort of pushing that away. This idea of hybrid church, I mean, I get it, online and in person, but it's just weird to me. It fragments us. And the challenges, frankly, that leaders are facing in being creative in this new time and being energetic through this endless pandemic are both frightening and draining. But I've been kind of convinced by the book that we do need to let go of what we knew before about being church and move on. That we need to change everything and do it all differently. Almost like applaud what was and move on. But I had this thought as I was deep in prayer just a few days ago. What if we're losing something in our rush to go and change everything? Throwing out the proverbial baby with the bathwater. What if nothing has changed in terms of being God's church right here in Fairfax? What if we at Bethlehem are right where we need to be? Still gathering in many and now various ways, but still gathering around that holy font, around that holy book, around that holy table, and around this holy community. Yes, the venue looks a bit different. Some are here and some are there, but the church hasn't ever changed. We still worship faithfully. We still give generously of our time and our money. We still eat Christ's body and drink Christ's blood regularly, the bread and the wine of the faithful through the centuries. We still sing the songs of the faith and check in with one another. We still welcome new people into our midst. We still act and speak and pray and march for justice and peace in this broken world. We still stumble at times and fall short at times and let each other down at times, to be sure. But we also still pick one another up, forgiving, caring, loving one another and this whole world as Christ did. In short, we still take up the cross with Jesus. Amen. That's what it means to be church. And even in a tidal wave of change, that's never stopped. We still take up the cross with Jesus. Friends, we are the church of today, changed for life by the Anointed One. I've noticed, and I do it myself, that we can be tempted to spend a lot of time dreaming here. Dreaming about what was, how things used to be. Oh, dreaming about what could be in the future with a certain combination of sparkling leadership and money and young families and more volunteers and more money and more people. This place just growing in every way imaginable according to my dream for it. But what if we started following Jesus in and out of the ring and into the world now? Friends, Bethlehem doesn't wait. God's people don't wait until conditions are favorable, pandemics are over, divisions are healed, fear is behind us. No, we're anointed in baptism by the Holy Spirit so that we just start following Jesus today, right where we are. We bloom where we're planted. What does that look like for you? Because the answer is who Jesus is to you. Does what you write for who Jesus is, your answer to that question, line up with the kinds of words you actually said this morning before church? Does your confession of who Jesus is line up with the kinds of words you'll say later this afternoon, tomorrow morning back to work, and through your week? Our words, as the book of James reminds us again, tell us something about Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? Our words point to who we say Jesus is. Today is about words. Just look at the words coming out of Jesus' people. What's blooming? Those words steer the whole ship. They have the power to set the whole forest ablaze, as James gives us multiple metaphors. Words are powerful. God bless your mouths, friends in Christ. God bless your mouths in the hours and the days ahead. Maybe part of that is God cleansing your mouths from the words you have said in God putting a new blessing on our mouths. God bless your tongues. God bless your thumbs as they type and fingers as they dial, your hands as they write. God bless your words. For Jesus is our song. Jesus is our song, this day and always. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.